You're listening to the Baldwin Life Podcast, episode number 29. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Baldwin Life Podcast. This is the show that's produced from the city of Baldwin for the city of Baldwin. We interview staff, elected officials, and industry experts from around the St. Louis region to keep our residents in the know. I'm your host, Kirsten Hostetler, and I am thrilled that you've chosen to listen to today's episode. First of all, a happy Thanksgiving one day early to anyone who's listening to this the day that it airs. I hope that you have a great time with your family and your friends, and more importantly, that you stay safe if you're traveling at all over the holiday. We are excited to bring you today's episode. Today, my co-host is going to be Andy Hickson, the Assistant City Administrator here in Baldwin, and we're excited to welcome City Attorney Bob Jones. You may recognize his name for more than one reason, as Bob and his family have been very actively involved in the City of Baldwin for many years. But we'll get more into that as we get into the interview. So here's City Attorney Jones. Well, Bob, thanks for being here and welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We appreciate you coming in. We know that you are a busy man, so thank you for your time. We're really excited to talk to you today about what you're doing currently as the city attorney for the city of Baldwin, but also all the different roles that you've played with the city over the year, played for the city over the years. Can we start there? Like, walk us through a little bit of your history with the city of Baldwin.
Well, my personal history with the city of Baldwin began in 1996 when the subdivision in which I live was annexed into the city of Baldwin.
Okay.
I was instrumental as the president of the Homeowners Association working on the annexation. And it's kind of a little bit of trivia, but it was the first time that I was ever sued in the St. Louis County Circuit Court.
Is that true?
I was the named defendant in the annexation suit.
Okay.
The way the law worked in 1996. So ultimately, we were annexed into the city, and that became effective in 1996. I then began serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I served on the Planning and Zoning Commission for about a year, and then I was appointed as the municipal court judge. I served as the municipal court judge for 2 years. I was then elected as mayor in 1999, and I served as mayor for 6 years until 2005. I became the city attorney in 2007, and I'm currently serving as the city attorney in 2018.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite or anything that has particularly stuck out over your time in all those different roles?
I think while I was mayor, we had two major projects.
Mm-hmm.
The redevelopment of Old Town,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is where the Lowe's store is located, and then the opening of the North Point.
Sure.
Those two projects stick out in my mind because they were significant from a economic standpoint.
And they're still going strong today, which
they
is
are.
Really cool that they were long-term, you know, big projects. That's cool.
And tell us a little bit about your personal history, because wasn't your dad the mayor? And, you know, I think you have a son who works for us, and you went to SMU during the good days of football. So.
That's right. My father was the mayor from 1965 until 1971, and he served as the municipal court judge before he became the mayor, just like I did. He became involved in city politics because the subdivision in which we lived at that time, Cherry Hills, had a mayor and an alderman. Dick Andrews and Ted Steinmeier were both residents in Cherry Hills at the same time, and that's how my father became involved.
That's cool. I didn't actually know that until just a few minutes before you came. I was talking to another coworker here who was saying that, you know, that your father had also been a mayor. And I haven't been with the city all that long, so I'm still learning some of the history. And she just said, you know, of all the people in the community, there's some families who are just pillars of the Baldwin brand and who Baldwin is. And she said that your family is certainly one of those families. So it's just really neat to hear you talk about kind of all those different things and all those people that have been involved in the rich history that is the city of Baldwin.
Well, it has been a wonderful place to grow up, and I raised my kids here. And in fact, my son, Rob, is a employee of the city of Baldwin. He is the city's arborist and works in the public works department.
Yeah, he recently got that certification. Actually, he's on our short list for people to have on the show sometime mm-hmm. in the near future. I think he'd be a great person to interview and talk about what does it mean to be the arborist in the city of Baldwin, and what do residents need to know about that position? So
I think he would enjoy that.
Yes, he would. He'd be a good fit for the show, too.
He would. So what made you want to run for mayor? I always find it interesting why people decide to actually run for office. I mean, and you always hear just a million different reasons. You know, I was for something, I was against something, or nobody else ran, or everybody else stepped back, and all of a sudden I was mayor. So,
well, I didn't have a particular issue. In fact, then Mayor Ed Montgomery, who liked to winter in Florida, called me and said, Bobby, he always called me Bobby, it's time, if you're going to be mayor and you want me to help you, this is when we need to do it. So he encouraged me to run, and I was more than happy to do that. At some point, I felt that it would be appropriate, but I certainly wasn't going to run against him.
Mm-hmm. And how so cool to have his support and encouragement.
Yeah, to have him call
process.
You and say,
yeah, that's really neat. So why don't you talk a little bit about your role now, which is as the city attorney for the city of Baldwin, and what you do in the big picture, because that's not the only thing that you do. So can you talk a little bit about your firm and your role here?
I can. My firm, Curtis Hines Garrett and O'Keefe, is a full-service law firm located in Clayton, but we do specialize in local government representation and regulated utility representation. So I think we probably serve as city attorney, prosecuting attorney, or special counsel for 37 different cities.
Oh, wow.
At this time around the state of Missouri, not all in St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. I personally serve as the city attorney in Sunset Hills, Baldwin, and Pacific. And each is unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
The citizens, the businesses, the makeup of the government, and the way they conduct themselves. But a city attorney is really a very interesting position because you do so many different things. It's sort of like being the general counsel of a corporation, and because you have contracting issues and personnel issues. Of course, attending meetings and preparing legislation is a big part of my mm-hmm. job. But it really is a very multifaceted type of position, and I enjoy it. I work almost every evening mm-hmm. in one of the three cities that I represent, and my partners and I often substitute for each other.
Sure.
That's the only way we'd be able to take any time off.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of my questions, actually, because I know that you do work and represent so many other cities. Is are you having to attend all of those meetings and council meetings and board meetings? Like, that adds up quickly, I'm sure, with your
yes.
time.
It does, but I really enjoy the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been most interested in the real estate and development issues. Mm-hmm. A large part of my private practice is real estate.
Okay.
And real estate related transaction work and litigation as well. So I'm always very interested in promoting development and working on development in and around the city. So I think that would be one of the most rewarding things that I get a chance to do. And as city attorney, I have a hand in all of those projects, one mm-hmm. way or the other.
Sounds like it'd be right up your alley, Andy, talking about development.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, one reason why I enjoy city management is, you know, every day is a new day. There's a different project. I mean, I think this is kind of cool. 20 minutes ago, Gary Sinise was down at the police facility. So I got to meet him, and then we're doing the podcast. And it sounds like, you know, being a city attorney is roughly the same thing, that, you know, it's just always kind of a new fun adventure. So,
well, I found it interesting, especially here in Baldwin, where I was the mayor. I was a consumer of legal services.
Mm.
And then I became the city attorney,
sure.
and I became a provider or a vendor of legal services. And that's kind of an interesting role reversal.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to see it from both sides.
Oh, yeah. And your dad was an attorney, too, wasn't he?
Yes. So yes.
I think it's interesting because my dad is a city administrator, and obviously I'm a city administrator. And I'm sure you guys probably have, you know, some of the same conversations where, you know, this is what I saw, or this is what I've seen, or, you know, I think that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. It was a... had an opportunity to work with my father for 27 years before he passed away,
wow.
which was really a neat thing.
Was that in a private firm that you guys ran
yes.
together?
Really?
That's really
yes.
neat. Wow.
That would be fun probably 80% of the time and probably 20% of the time.
that's really
yeah.
cool.
I learned a lot from him.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a great mentor.
So what about other things in your personal life? What do you and your family like to do for fun, or where can you be found on the weekends, adventuring or traveling? What do you like to do?
Well, I like to hunt and fish, and I enjoy camping and hiking. In fact, I did all of that last week in Colorado. We just retured on Sunday.
Oh, awesome. Where did you go?
We were in Ridgway, which is in the southwest part of the state between Montrose and Telluride. And then we spent another half a week in Steamboat in the northwest part of the state.
I know you want to tell your Steamboat story, Andy. I can see you. Go for it.
Cracks me up. I think we've talked about this, that during the comp plan, somebody actually listed that they didn't want Baldwin to become Steamboat Springs, which you seem to speak highly of it. When I was there 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it seemed like a fairly nice place. So it's just one of the funny things that stick out. I mean, doesn't your brother have didn't he build a house downtown or something?
He did.
Which sounds pretty cool.
He did. And that was our destination. That's so awesome. It was great. Yeah, it was very nice. Now, we were lucky to get out. They had a large snow event the day that we left.
Oh, really?
Really.
If you're familiar with the area, traveling over Rabbit Ears Pass on US 40 is tricky sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Particularly in the snow.
Of course, I can think of a lot worse things. I mean, stuck in Colorado for a couple extra days during a snowstorm.
That's right.
Well, a lot of the things that you described are I can resonate with, because my husband and I also enjoy doing a lot of those things, outdoor stuff. He's big into hunting and fishing, so that's great. That sounds really fun.
Rob and I will leave tomorrow because Saturday is the opening day of deer season.
That's right. Well, good luck and have fun with that.
Thank you.
That sounds fun. So let's go into a little bit. Obviously, you've been with the city for a long time and seen all of these things that have been happening and a lot of change that even since I've been here in the last couple of years, a lot has changed. So what's something that you notice has really changed for the better in Baldwin, or maybe on the opposite side, some new challenges that you think the city has in front of us?
Well, I think our biggest challenge in the years to come will be the aging population and how to keep them here in Baldwin.
Right.
And make it economical and present. Pleasant for them to age in place,
sure.
Really, because we have different obstacles when it comes to that. So I think that's something that we'll have to deal with in the years to come, and it's probably been the biggest change that I've seen. I think I've been very pleased to see how much more open and accessible Baldwin's government has become.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is your job, Kirsten, with
right.
social media and just making the presence known.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that probably was the most significant thing I learned as mayor, is that municipal government has an impact on people's everyday lives. And, you know, everyone knows who the president is, who the senator is, who the congressman
right.
is, but municipal government provides parks and recreation opportunities and snow removal and mosquito fogging and everything else, you know, trash pickup, down to each and every day that you come across some municipal service. So we need to be able to respond when people contact us, and I think we've done a great job of doing that, and I think that's a credit to all the staff in the city.
Well, it's definitely the aspect of government that has the most impact on someone's day-to-day life. I mean, like you said, you know who the president is, but oftentimes people, they think about that, but they can't really narrow down what a change in presidency means different for their day-to-day life. But, you know, a change in a local policy or a local ordinance can impact them, you know, pretty significantly the next day. So some of our aldermen also echo that same sentiment. I know Ray Kerligan talked about that a lot. You know, if you want to get involved in politics, the local scene is the place to be, because that really changes your daily life.
Well, and it's also responsiveness and accessibility. I mean, when was the last time you saw, you know, any president or former president, you know, walking through Lowe's or, you know, at Lion's Choice or anything like that? And I mean, that you know who your aldermen are, and you see them out and about, or you know who the mayor is and you see him out and about, or, you know, your kids played baseball with his kids type mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, and I would also, you know, just to talk a little more about the transparency and openness thing, I think that is something that's becoming even more so important in all levels of government. And I'm really glad to see Baldwin embracing that and moving forward with that, because, like you said, it's something that residents deserve to know and they need to know. So it makes my job fun. I get lots of, you know, questions from all ends of the spectrum, but it's definitely something that needs to be in place. So I'm excited to have, you know, the small role that I do in that, in the social media and some of the other digital things. But yeah, it's an exciting topic for sure. One of the other questions that I had was, you know, just sort of your job in general, is when does the city attorney get involved? I think a lot of the times the average resident might not necessarily know what it is that you do or when you have to step in. So can you, even just in broad terms, kind of explain, besides legislation, when do you have to step in and get involved on behalf of the city?
Well, I'm often contacted by the city administrator, of course, or one of the department heads. If it's a question about zoning or a personnel issue or a contract that needs to be reviewed, whether or not it's appropriate to enter into a legal relationship with some other party. So that is when I really become involved. Now, of course, if sometimes there's an issue that that the staff member doesn't recognize, you know, and says, we want to do this, but we don't know whether it has adverse consequences. So I would then try and review it and determine whether I can come up with a better way to do it.
So what does a typical day look like for you? I mean, I know you work a lot of evenings. I mean, are you just 8 to 5 in every evening? Or, I mean, I've worked with city attorneys for a long time. And I guess if they weren't in-house, I mean, they disappear until we call them when it's, you know, on the 11th hour and it's almost too late and you go, oh, my goodness, you know, Bob, come save us. But,
sure.
I mean, is that what it's like normally for you? Or?
Well, it is, although things have changed. I've been in practice now for going on 34 years. And in the beginning of my career, I spent most of my time in court. And I would say that I probably spend only about half of my time in court now.
Really?
Litigation is not as much of a percentage of my practice. And that's good and bad because I really enjoy it. But if I have a late meeting in one of the cities, the last thing I want to do is go to court at 8 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
So it allows me, if I don't have a court appearance, I can wake up and review my emails at home and then maybe go in a little later, miss the traffic. And it's always hard to sleep after you get home from a late meeting. So
some of those meetings you get fired up. Yeah,
sure,
it is. I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning before you go to sleep.
So it's nice to be able to relax. And that's one of the things that's made possible by having a computer and a phone and accessibility to my office server and such from my home office.
So for the average Baldwin resident who's probably listening to this podcast, what would you tell them or what would be something that you think would be important for them to know about your role in the city that they might not know at this point?
Well, I think it's sort of unique that I'm a resident and a former mayor and now the city attorney. The other cities that I serve, I don't have that same kind of affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that the other cities are any less important than the city of Baldwin, but I'm a resident.
Right.
And so it's something that I know is going to affect me directly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's sort of a different perspective.
Right, because you're even more invested. Like you said, not that those other cities aren't important, but you know, the things that you're deciding and the decisions that you're talking about at the board meetings are impacting you too. So that's
exactly.
That's really cool.
Well, and you guys are out in the community. I've seen you guys walk a couple of times. I mean, you guys, you know, not so much Sunset Hills, which you go to, but yeah, we do see you often out in the community, and it's your hometowns where you guys are walking.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said earlier, it really is a pleasure to bring you on because I know the role that your family has played for so long in the city of Baldwin. So we really appreciate you taking the time to come and join the podcast and share a little bit about what you do. Any final words before we wrap up the episode?
No, I really enjoyed the opportunity to speak with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for coming by, yeah.
Before I sign off, I just wanted to remind you all not to forget about the open houses that are happening next week as part of the planning initiatives that are happening in the city of Baldwin. First, on Tuesday at the Baldwin Golf Course, there's going to be an open house for the Parks Master Plan Program. That's going to be from 5:30 to 7 p.m., so stop by and hear how that firm is organizing the Parks Master Plan for the city of Baldwin and how we might upgrade our parks and facilities and what the priorities are for that department. And secondly, on Thursday evening is the open house for the comprehensive plan. That's going to be held at the Point from 5 to 7:30 p.m. And that will be a little more, as you guessed it, comprehensive. So not just looking at parks, but looking at the entire city of Baldwin and what can we be doing to plan for the future? What types of improvements does the city need to focus on? And how can residents get involved in that process? So be sure to come to one, if not both of those events and make your voice heard. This is the last open house for both of those events. So if you'd like to give your opinion, now is the time to do so. Well, with the holiday this week, I really don't have much else to add, so I'll just say have a great Thanksgiving and be safe. And as always, and until next time, continue to enjoy the Baldwin life.